If you love Jesus, you may be seated. If you don't, keep standing up. Hallelujah. We did this. Did you all do this? How many of you did this? Any of you? I did this. You better get them. Yeah, my spiritual gift was forgetfulness. Actually, both my wife and I are pretty much mercy and serving. That's what we are. And you know why? Because that's what God made us to be and called us to be. By the way, I'd like you to take a moment after the service to go check out the pictures on the Teen Challenge thing there. How many have seen the pictures already? I looked at them this morning, and they told me one thing. God changes people. I mean, just the pictures. God changes people. How many of you been changed? Yeah, yeah. I was changed too, and we're going to get into that in just a minute. We're going to look now at... I have a black message and a red message. I don't know if you can see it from there, but my message was in black. And then as I began praying over it yesterday, it turned red. And then last night, I kept telling the Lord, I got to get to sleep. I got to get to sleep. And now I can remember seeing 12 o'clock. And just songs kept coming to me, and I started giggling. I can remember how many remember my son Willie? Okay, not that many. I have a son who has, he's very handicapped. He has cerebral palsy, he's blind, seizure disorder. He cannot even roll over on his own. He had a 5-year life expectancy, and he's now 28, I think. But he used to have these nights when we lived in a house. We had a window that went from our room to his room, and he'd have these nights that Mom and I used to call it. He was playing with the angels. Kept us up all night long. He was the happiest guy. Just happy, laughing all night long. And I said, Lord, I can't do that tonight. I gotta preach the morning. Now, Pastor Joseph can stay up and pray till 4 o'clock in the morning and then get up and do it, you know. But I'm not Pastor Joseph, you know. And I was telling that to the Lord. So if I'm a little disjointed, it's either my ADD or my lack of sleep. We're going to look at the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Years ago, when I was first a Christian, I first met the Lord, there was this couple named Jimmy and Carol Snow. They were singers. I don't know if anybody ever heard of them? Snow. Jim and Carol Snow. And I can remember just being a new Christian, and he was an evangelist also besides a singer, and he preached on this passage of Scripture. And so as the Lord was bringing it to me, I was thinking of this couple, and I was amazed. I don't know if y'all know this, but I'm different than most of you. I think different. I'm just me, you know. My daughter is very gracious to me. She puts up with me. You know, every once in a while she says, now, Dad, you know. And they put up with me a whole lot because I can't hear what anybody says anymore. But I think of things. Things hit me in a certain way that it seems like doesn't hit other people the same way, you know. And just I don't know why, but maybe that's just the way God made me to be that way. So I pray you can bear with me. Are you up there yet? Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. I wonder if they grew olives on that mountain. I don't. Now, early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. Now, what hits your mind when you read those words? For me, it's, where's the guy? Where's the guy here? But I guess the culture around there then was a culture that I wouldn't appreciate that much if it's just the women that get a sock to them and not the guy. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Think a minute, what does that speak to you? Are these people concerned about this woman's well-being? Are they concerned about where she's at with her life with God? Actually, they're concerned with trying to trick up Jesus. They're trying to catch him in something that so they could prove that he isn't a true prophet of God. They didn't even know that in actuality, he was the one who loved them so much, he would give us all. They were more concerned with trying to catch him that they would injure someone else. That's what it speaks to me. In the very act, well, that means the guy had to be there. But they only brought her, it says. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? And this they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. I think it's amazing that, you know, we have so many different kinds of churches, that now I have never yet heard of one of the stooping down and writing in the dirt church. I think it's amazing. Or the, you know, spit in the mud and spit in the dirt and make mud and bring healing to people church. You know, we have people that go on all kinds of things, but not those. I don't know. I don't know why. But he wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So wherever Jesus was sitting here at the temple, there was a dirt floor. And that's what I see here. And so when they continue asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw the stone at her first. Wow. How many of you would be able to throw that first stone? Huh? None of us. None of us. And again, he stooped down. And so he just says that. You know, then he didn't wait for anybody to respond. He stoops down and he writes on the ground again. Well, there it is twice in Scripture. You know, so maybe we ought to have a writing on the ground group. And then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now, they got convicted, huh? Did you know the ministry of the Holy Spirit in John 1 of those chapters in John. It says that he's come to convict the world of sin and of righteousness of judgment. So the Holy Spirit does convict. Amen? And I bet you he was convicting these guys, speaking into their conscience. Okay? So, no one was there. Verse 10, and Jesus raised himself up and saw no one but the woman. He said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Notice, there's a word from God. A precious word. Have you heard that word? "Neither do I condemn you." Have you heard the second part? "Go and sin no more." Have you heard that? That's how you tell somebody's really born again. They don't desire to keep on sinning. They desire to please God. When I was a young man, I had a proclivity for, isn't that a fancy word? I had a proclivity for getting into fights. You know, and after I became a believer, I didn't want to do that anymore. And I can remember getting into a fight after becoming a believer and literally got sick to my stomach afterwards. I believe I grieved God, I grieved the Holy Spirit, and I also grieved myself by getting into a fight again. By the way, I didn't win very many, but I did get into them. So that's the message for the day. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And you've experienced that if you've given your life to Jesus Christ. Now, do you think Jesus just says that the first day when you say, "Jesus, please forgive me my sin," for the first time? Or does he continue to confirm that into your life? Does he continue to speak into your life that he is the one who's not the condemner, but instead, he's the lover of your soul? There are so many things that have happened so far in this service, especially during the worship, that just blessed me because it goes along with what I'd like to share. And Pastor Joseph's prayer time, too, just spoke to me in a lot of things. Do you know, I met my wife, that's her over there, isn't she pretty? Yeah. And, you know, we've been married a while, and it's getting gooder and gooder. I mean, I'm blessed to have her, and special. Well, you know, when I met her, she was only 15 years old, and I was 17. And I got to get this other paper here to kind of explain this now. Even though she was 15, that's kind of young, right? She waited till she was 16 before she asked me to marry her. But not long after she turned 16, though. Okay. At that time when we met, I did not know the love of Jesus. I went to church. I sang in the choir. It was a good place to meet girls. Not only did I didn't know the love of Jesus, I didn't know that I didn't know the love of Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're going to have to listen to this closely. Okay? But I think Purdy knew. That's her. I think Purdy knew that I didn't know Jesus and I didn't know the love of Jesus. And but I didn't know that I didn't know that I didn't know the love of Jesus. Can you follow all that? You've got to think carefully now. But God knew I didn't know that I didn't know Jesus and didn't know the love of Jesus. So he made a way. Understand? He made a way. And he said, Denny, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now, I'd like to say I never sinned again after that. But some of you know that I sometimes do things without jumping forward too fast, without thinking. I jump right into things and stuff. So, by the way, we did get married. That was more than 20 years ago. And it's still good. Okay. So, this message is kind of born out of how good Jesus has been to Mom and I. That's what it's born out. And it's been actually, tomorrow's our anniversary. It'll be 51 years and 8 months. Yeah, every month we at least say happy anniversary. So I ought to count up all the months and figure out what that is, but I'm retired from being a math teacher. We found that God is a loving God. He's a forgiving God. And he's a God that directs your path. A God that frees you from the sin of your past and brings you into newness of life. For, you know, the scripture says we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Do you believe God has a plan for you? Huh? Do you believe that? I always have. I believe my God is great enough to take care of all the circumstances of my life. He may allow some things to happen in my life that I don't like. Things that are difficult. But still, he has a plan and a way. And if I go through these things, he makes me a stronger individual being able to trust in him. And the same for you. He has a plan for our lives. God spoke to us his word. Has he spoken his word to you? Sometimes he speaks it through someone preaching. Sometimes he speaks it to you as you read this word. Sometimes, but be careful, somebody will speak a prophetic word over you. Make sure God is speaking that to you. All right? I had people speaking things over me that they just sent me into a dizzy spin. I had no idea how that would do. There was a guy named in the Bible named Abram, which means exalted father. And God had a plan for him, correct? How many know the story of Abram? And his name later became changed to? A little louder?
Abraham.
You know, I always wondered why from Abram to Abraham when the Jews don't eat pork? You know, I always wondered that. Anyway. Abraham means the father of a multitude. There are scriptures that go along with this, Mark, that they're not up there. And then there was Sarai, which means princess, and her name was changed to Sarah, which means noblewoman or queen. You know, that's what she was. But God spoke to him that Abraham would be the father of a great nation, right? A multitude of offspring. Huh? So, what happened? As time went on, You know, put yourself in Abraham's shoes, or Abram, whichever he was at the time. Go back and read those chapter, like 12 to 18 of Genesis, and you'll see the story unfold. But put yourself in his shoes. God spoke this word to him, and it ain't happening. Have you ever been there? Yeah? I've been there. It just isn't happening. Sometimes God will speak a specific word to you. He has to us. One of the words God spoke to us before we were married, as we began seeking God, her dad allowed us to talk on the phone once a week, and while we were engaged. And so we would talk and pray on the phone, and we began preparing, well, what does God want to do with our lives? And he spoke to us. He said, you will minister to children. So, that happened. Okay, we had children. And we ministered to them. And I became a teacher. Now it's time for those children to minister to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyway, we heard God speak that. God spoke to us once. He told us, you're going to start a school. A specific word like that. It wasn't through anybody. He just spoke it to us, right? And when he did, you know, that was cool. But it took quite a while. And then somebody asked us, I can't remember how many years, but it took a number of years. And then someone asked me to come to Tucson and start a school for a ministry with abused and neglected children. And our heart was there. But we had, again, we prayed about it. Wait for God's timing. We prayed another 7 years, and then God just released me to go. I was coming home from Marana, actually. You know that air thing out there past Marana? There was a pastor's conference. Coming home and going through Davidson Canyon, God spoke to me. This is the year you don't renew your contract. I was a teacher, and they have things called contracts. And anyway, spoke to me, don't renew your contract. And you know what that said to me? It was time to go. It also said my children would be fed. He didn't say those words, but I knew in my spirit my children would be cared for. And guess what? They were. They were cared for. Because that was one of my biggest fears, that we'd leave everything we had here. And how would I be able to feed my kids? Because they had promised me very little salary. But money has never been the driving force in my life. It really hasn't. In either one of our lives, hasn't been the driving force. Well, here's Abraham. He's wondering about this offspring. Now he has a wife that says, I'm going to help this dude out. I have a good idea. Be careful of good ideas. Make sure your wife's prayed up. Pray with her to help her be prayed up. Okay? Because not every good idea that comes down the pike is what God wants for you to do. How many of you have helped God fulfill his word in your life? Any of you been there? Aren't you glad that Jesus is still there to pick up the mess after you're done? Huh? That's the way he is. That's the way he is. No matter what happens, whether you screw it up, excuse that language, but whether you mess it up, is that better? He's there for you. He loves you. And how did it turn out for Abraham? Huh? How did Ishmael turn out? I think we're reaping that today, aren't we? Does anybody understand it? You understand what Ishmael is the father of? He's also A great nation. God spoke to his mom, said, a great nation will come from you. And a great number of offspring. So be careful, because sometimes when you got this thing burning in you, and then you just, it doesn't turn out the way it's supposed to, that you think it should. And sometimes you have to live with the effects of it for a long time. But then God, and that's one of the things we can always trust in, but then God. I've heard people say it this way. Well, it's in the Bible too. They say, suddenly God. Amen? And he'll do that in your life. Okay? Have any of you ever fallen as a Christian? Huh? Any of you? I mean, not just a little sin, you know, like you stole the last cookie. I mean, not that. I mean fallen. I mean, doing a good job of it. Any of you? I have. You know, aren't you glad he's there for you? It may take a while, but then the impossible happens. And the impossible is usually God's doing, correct? God does the impossible. And when Abraham was beyond himself, God comes and talks to him again. He says, now's the time. And, you know, and Sarah eavesdrops. I don't know how, you know, she was old. You know, I'm only 71 and I can't hear to eavesdrop on anything. They're talking around the table. I have no idea what's going on until my wife tells me what's happening. So, anyway. Mark, I'm on Genesis 18, verse 14. Are we there yet? Look at that scripture. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard? No. It may take a miracle. Hallelujah. But no. At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Not a daughter, and a son. And so, he has a son. Abraham has that son. Wow. The word that God spoke to him a long time ago, before he messed up. Okay? It's coming true. I've got a son. And then, the years go on. Abraham's now, I think Abraham was like close to 100 when Isaac was born. So I figure there's a time where Abraham's faith is tried. Okay? So I figure Abraham's about 117 at least by now. And he takes Isaac up to the mountain. You all know that? Who carried the wood? Who carried the wood? Who else carried the wood? Jesus. Ah. Who was to be sacrificed? Isaac. Who else was to be sacrificed? Jesus. Kind of the analogy stops there. But there was a substitute, wasn't there? Who was the substitute? The ram. Who was the other substitute? Jesus, for our sin. Isn't that precious? Isn't that precious? His faith is tried. And then after all this, and the ram is in there, and he gets the sacrifice ram, Abraham calls the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, which means Jehovah sees. Jehovah provides. If God sees you, and sees, he will also see your need, and he will provide for you. Jesus said it in the New Testament. Don't the lilies of the field, aren't they taken care of? Aren't the birds of the air fed? So this is what this talks to me about and stuff. So, well, what I want you to know is God has a plan, but don't substitute God's plan with your plan. Okay? Seek Him. Well, I don't know what God's plan for me is. You know, and, you know, I'll tell you, when I retired from teaching, how many knew I was a teacher? Oh, three people. Okay. I used to be a teacher. I taught for 45 years. And when I retired, there was a time that I didn't know what to do with myself. And I began seeking God. What do you want me to do now? What do you have for me now? Can I confess something to you? I would also say, Lord, please don't. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. You know, and I used to have these nightmares. You know, and I'd wake up and I'd tell Mom, I had a nightmare last night. What about? I dreamed I was teaching again. You know, it was just. So anyway. Anyway, we have these, this idea, calling out to God is an important thing. And, you know, God spoke to me what my ministry is right now, what He has for me to do. Now, you realize that my motivational gift is, or spiritual gift is mercy and serving. So for so many years, I served children and this body. People in this body. And I'm not very overt on how I do things. I do a lot of it just quietly. And so does she. That's the way she is. How many of you got a baby blanket from her? Some of you did. Well, if you didn't, all you got to do is have a baby. Okay, that's her gift. All right. Hebrews 11, Mark. Can you go, is that Hebrews 11? Go back. Well, go back to 17 if you can. In Isaac, your seed shall be called. That's what I want to say. Yeah, that's right. In Isaac, your seed shall be called. I was just reading of whom it was said, and I thought, why did I have that? Hallelujah. Well, in Isaac, your seed shall be called, now 19, concluding that God was able to what? Raise him up. He believed in resurrection, and that teaching went through to the Jewish nation, generation after generation. There is a resurrection. There is a resurrection. And he believed that if he sacrificed Isaac, God will raise him up, even from the dead, from which also, once he also received him from in a figurative sense. So figuratively it was done, but he believed that if the angel did not stop him, that God would raise Isaac up. Why? Because God spoke a word to him, and God would fulfill his word. And it was through Isaac that this would happen. Now I want you to notice that the promise is made by God. And it's not by ourselves. We don't design it ourselves. And we don't tell God how we do things. By faith, Abraham believed and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now, that's my introduction. Where do you go if you're talking about we need a word from God? That's where salvation comes in. Salvation is a relationship. Being saved isn't, you know, I said these magic words and that's it. No, it's a relationship. From the moment I got saved, before I got saved, the Holy Spirit was working on my life. He was. And working mainly through her. Because I was, remember I told you, I wasn't a believer? Or did I tell you that? I wasn't married either when I met her. But where was I? Yeah, I think I know where I'm at. Okay. The Holy Spirit was working to draw me unto Himself. And then I came to that point where I knew Jesus and I knew the love of Jesus. And I understood that I needed forgiveness. Well, I knew that already. But I knew that Jesus was the forgiver. That was His love toward me. And my life abruptly changed. I don't know about y'all, but for me, my life abruptly changed. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. And that's what happened to me. It was so different. It was so different. You know what I wanted to do more than anything else? Know Jesus. Know His Word. Kayla reminds me of me. Okay? Because I think before she met James, she didn't know Jesus. And then she met Him. That's the blessing being carried on from one generation to the next. Yeah, I believe in that, that God does that. And she has. Have you had change in your life? Is there going to be more? Have you got a hunger for knowing God's Word? Yeah, that was me. I started a few months after I got saved, I started college. Instead of coming home with all my books, studying and all that kind of stuff, I went to Bible studies. That's what I did. I wanted to know God's Word. I just wanted to love on Him. John 3:16, Mark. I'm going to read it out of the old King James, and this is new King James, so I think. I don't remember which version I typed it out of, to tell you the truth. But you're familiar with this, right? I want you to see something in here. For God so loved the world. Why don't you say it with me? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Easy for you to say. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. I'll stop there. Okay? For God so loved the world. Woo. For God so loved Denny. That's cool, huh? For God so loved Kayla. He sent James into her life. Amazing. How could God use a guy like him to bring somebody to Jesus? But He did. Hallelujah. I didn't realize He looked up from His little thing long enough to notice anybody. Tell you, anyway. This is the, you know, God saying that, you know, and did you notice in there? He that believeth is not what? Condemned. Not condemned. You know what I say when I hear that? Thank you, Jesus. Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. And look at verse 2. Are we there? Boy, Mark is good. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now I want you to know something here. People, lots of people, will try to put you back under the law of sin and death. They will. They don't want you to be free. Even other Christians, you know, they'll teach you. You gotta, you gotta, you gotta, you gotta. Instead of he did, he did, he did. He did it all. He did it all. So when you mess up, are you lost? No. You take a wrong turn, are you lost? No. You call out to him. And he's faithful and just for you. You know, did you know that God is a judge? Huh? Did you know Jesus is a judge? Do you know that judges don't always say, guilty, 25 years? They don't always say that. Sometimes they say, not guilty. Huh? And you know, when we get before that judge on that judgment day, the blood of Jesus will be covering you and me. Hallelujah. What's he say? Not guilty because of the blood. Isn't that cool? So that's the idea of this message. So where's our faith? It's where we're trusting. Are you trusting in your own strength? Are you trusting in the good works you do? Or are you trusting in what he has already done for you? Okay? When God spoke to Abraham and said, or Abram, whichever way you want to look at it, you're going to be a father of a multitude, he could already see the end from the beginning. He could see that far. God is not confined to time like we are. Okay? So, in what we want or in what the Lord has spoken to us, that's where should we be? In what we want or in what God has spoken to us? You all know the answer there. It's for what God has spoken to us. How precious. How precious. For God so loved the world. Now this message, could have been shortened, but it's only 11:49. So, this message, you could have done this message this way. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Now, if he loves you, won't he pick you up? Won't he? If he loves you, won't he protect you? Hallelujah. If he loves you, won't he prepare a place for you? Amen. If he loves you, will everything be hunky-dory? That's an old-time saying, by the way. Not always. Not always. Okay? But he loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much that he did it all. He did it all. All you need to do is say, thank you, Lord. I receive it from you. Pour it out on me. Give me your love. Hallelujah. You know, she loves me. Did you know that? Have any of you ever? You guys don't get the looks I get. There's this look where her eyes twinkle and there's a little grin. And wow, it just turns me on. And lets me know how loved I am. It's okay, guys. That's part of being in love. You know? She once asked me to pray for her. And here was her problem. She had a problem. Her problem was, you need to pray for me, honey, because I think I love you more than God sometimes. I mean, what a hard, difficult thing for a husband to go through. That your wife loves you more than she thinks she loves God. But I know she loves Jesus more than me. But precious. God is agape. You know, 1 John 4:7, 8. Beloved, that's not my message, but beloved, let us love one another. For, do you all know this scripture? Say it with me. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth knoweth God, for... Did I miss part of it? For God is love. Do I miss part of it? I miss part of the Pledge of Allegiance sometimes and parts of everything. God is love. And that's why we sang those few songs when I first got up. Oh, how He loves you and me. And because He loves me, I can love Him. I love Him. I love Him. Where's the love? Not in that we love God, but that He loved us and He gave Himself for us. That's love. All I wanted to let you know is Jesus loves you. He loves you so much. So much. And when everything else seems to be falling apart, maybe, you know, the refrigerator don't work. We've been through that for a year now. And other things are happening, you know, the car's not working or anything. You know, we've had about close to $3,000 of additional expenses since we got here in December. You know, and we live on Social Security and our savings. And so we look at that and say, wow, Jesus loves us. He does. And it gives you a faith and a hope. He'll take care of it. He'll take care of it. You know, kind of like, have I ever failed you, Denny? Has He ever failed you? Oh, I get so blessed when I see Tamara and Sean. Do you mind me being personal like this? You know, somebody asked me, are you preaching today? Yeah. Are you going to tell your stories? Yeah. That's what I do. I get blessed how God has blessed them financially. You know, and just doing good for them. And so they can touch others. I get blessed because the curse is broken and the blessing goes down from generation to generation to generation. And I keep claiming that. Are there things that I want to see change? Of course. I want to see some of my kids and my get closer to Jesus and my grandkids to know Jesus. I have some that don't know Jesus yet. And that's what I want to see. That means more than anything else to me. So, and then I have to pray, Lord, don't let me run amok and screw things up even deeper. You know, that I know You have a plan for their lives. And somehow You can draw them to You. So, if you pray, think about that. Pray for Pastor Denny's grandkids and some of my kids to get closer to Jesus. Okay? Well, I'm done.